This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. State Representative John Bison is in his first term. The Republican lawmaker represents Battle Creek and the surrounding area in the 62nd District. Thank you very much for being here.
It is my pleasure and honor to be here with you, Gordon. Thank you so much.
Also joined today by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, first question for Representative Bison.
Sure. Dr. Bison, earlier this month we saw Proposal 1 defeated. It looked like voters had made a decision. And now we're looking for that Plan B that seemingly did not exist when we were going for this proposal. What do you think lawmakers learned from that, from the voters rejecting that proposal?
Well, the voters just didn't reject it. They tromped on it. You know, this is the biggest loss of any constitutional proposal since the Constitution was written, unless I'm mistaken. And they just did not like this proposal. And that doesn't mean that we don't have work in front of us. Their message to me was very, very clear. They want good roads here in this state. Many of them would be willing to pay more for good roads. And I feel it's up to us in the legislature to give them what they want, what they need, what is good for business, what is good for our citizens.
If they're willing to pay more, how do you think they're willing to pay more? Because they pretty resoundingly said, don't increase the sales tax.
I think we need to be a little bit more creative in what we do. The very first thing that I personally would like to do is prioritize our spending. And so we put more towards roads as opposed to some of the other projects that we are currently funding. And I think there are a number of others in the legislature with me who would like to see us use that approach. But when it comes to roads, I would love to see new and innovative ideas. The idea of toll lanes have been kicked around for a number of years. You can't do toll roads. You can't convert a federally funded road to a toll road because the road is already built, it's paid for. But that doesn't mean that if new construction is not needed, if you don't need an additional lane or two, that you can't have toll lanes. And I think that with advances in technology, toll lanes are becoming increasingly a possibility. What if we were to have roads where you would have specific lanes, maybe designated just for cars, that you had increased speeds and you had this glass-like surface that you could just go running down? And would that be worth a couple dollars to you, especially if you were running late one day? I think that there still might be some use for the likes of a toll lane. I would love to explore using more additives in our roads and see if we can't come up with a mix to find a road that lasts longer than the 3 or 4 or 5 years that it seems like our roads are lasting these days. And we simply need to do a better job at making sure that the roads last, be it that the warranties that we need to look at or some of the other factors.
Do you agree with the governor who has said that you may be able to reprioritize some spending, but somewhere you are going to have to find more revenue for roads?
I think that that depends to some degree on what kind of society you want to live in. You know, if you say that you want to live in a society where you have just bare essentials being provided by the government, you could come up with $1.2 billion. You could come up with $5 billion.
Okay. Well, you get a vote here. What kind of society do you want to live in?
Oh, no. I think that my job is to represent my district, and my district, I think, would be willing to pay a little bit more for roads. And I feel that my job is to do what my district wants to see. This isn't about John Bison. This is about the 62nd district. And I feel that my job is to represent that district. And so although I have some very conservative ideals, I would not go so far as to say that we don't need new revenues. And if we have new revenues, I would love to see those revenues being a shared sacrifice among many different players rather than simply pouncing on one group or the other group saying that, this is your baby and you have to pay for this.
Jennifer?
A lot of the criticism about Proposal 1 was people said, I just don't get it. It's complicated. The package has so many things that seem so unrelated. I mean, do you think it's still possible that we can get, our roads fixed where, you know, one, people understand it and they know what you're voting for when you're representing the district? You know, when I went to your forum, your town hall, there were people who were frustrated. Some of them didn't want to spend more money. I'm wondering, you know, how you kind of deal with that.
That's one of the challenges that I really find a key challenge. And I don't know that we ever get to perfect. And you are not going to make all the people happy any of the time. Sometimes I don't even make myself happy. But, you know, you do what is good for the people that you represent, and you just aren't going to make all the people happy all of the time, and you have to do what is best for the majority of the people, looking out for all the people, and making sure that the solutions that we come up with. And what I got from Proposal 1, and Jennifer, you know more than anyone else about Proposal 1. You did some very nice work on Proposal 1.
You.
Thank you for that reporting. Mm-hmm. But it was a very complicated ballot initiative. There were some 14 or 15 different moving parts. There were, in order to get it on the ballot, we needed to have 2/3 of both houses to put it there. And much of what I have heard is that people don't want us to bring the roads package back to them. They want us to take care of this. And I am under the impression that the people who are currently there, at least in the House, are saying, no, this is something that we have to take care of. They're going to take ownership of this, and they want to find a solution.
What's your level of optimism? You know, there's been a lot of criticism thrown at the legislature about, you know, you guys need to go get it done. And it's been quite a while, even before your time, before they could, you know, get something done. Is that possible?
Perhaps I'm an eternal optimist. I think that Governor Snyder is a very good leader. And I think that he has, similar to myself, the best interests of this state in mind. That's his constituency. And I am looking forward to his leadership. I think that we have a brand new group in the House. They are perhaps a little bit more conservative than the last group that was there. But that doesn't mean that they don't want to do good things for this state. In the last election, our people here throughout the state chose new leaders. We had a very big freshman class, and I think that freshman class on both sides of the aisle has been working reasonably well together. And I'm optimistic. I really do think that we are going to get this done. I really do think that we are going to be able to come forward with a package, and I don't know what that package is going to look like quite yet. There's a lot of discussion to go, but you heard the Senate say, we aren't leaving this summer. We're going to be around here.
Should the House do the same thing?
I believe that the House is looking at that as well. I believe that everyone in the House wants to get this done. And if that means staying and working a little bit more, then I know I'm more than happy to do that. And I can't imagine that many of my colleagues aren't also more than happy to put in the hours and to do the work of the people.
If you are not going to go back to the voters in some fashion, does that limit what you can do? Because under the Michigan Constitution, for instance, a sales tax increase would have to be approved by the voters. Mm-hmm. There are other options out there, but does that limit the sources you could go to for more revenue if you're going to say, yes, we as the legislature are going to approve something?
I think we have lots of different options available to us, if I may say, Gordon. Yes, for a sales tax increase, we need to go to the people because that's constitutionally defined. But if we wanted to reduce the sales tax, if we wanted to increase the use tax, the fuels tax, that's not a constitutional issue. That's a legislative issue, is my understanding, and we could do that. And there are new and different taxes. We may want to look at different sources for funding. One of the things that you are the very first person to actually hear in public is that we may want to take a look at different sources of revenue. One of the things that we have kicked around for a while is legalization of marijuana. There are those who say that we could get $800 million for the legalization of marijuana in the taxes that would be paid. And here again, you're talking to someone who is against smoking, someone who thinks that smoking is a very, very bad thing.
I remember last time we talked with you.
And I know that smoking does bad things for us. And the question becomes, if we are going to increase taxes, would that be one that we might possibly even want to look at? And
are you open to it?
I would be open to the will of the people. I don't think that this is something that the legislature should do. That if you want to change our society so profoundly as to legalize marijuana for those over the age of 25, because the brain is developing until the age of 25, and I think that drugs do a very bad thing to developing brains. And one of the things that for me to be on board with anything like this, it would have to be for a very adult population older than 21, because I just got back from the Hawthorne Center out in, I think it's Livonia or Dearborn Heights, down on the east side of the state, where we have children who are hospitalized for psychiatric illnesses. And I was talking to the medical leadership up there, and they were saying that marijuana use, marijuana abuse, marijuana habituation is a secondary medical diagnosis, and something like 70% of the people that they admit to that psychiatric institute. And I walked away scratching my head saying, wow, that's not only a number that's going up, does that tell us something?
Okay, so just so I understand here, you are saying that if we're going to legalize marijuana and take that tax money, put it to roads, you would want the voters to approve that?
Yes, I would not want this to be a legislative effort, because...
But you're going back to the ballot then and not a legislative solution.
In part, because that's not going to get you the money for roads. You know, that's not going to get you enough money to pay for all of the roads by doing that. And it would be great to have more money for school, more money for medical treatment here within the state. I think that there are lots of other things that we can use that money for outside of roads. And if we're going to use that as a possible source of increased funding going into the future, it doesn't necessarily all have to be for roads. We could use it for a number of different options. And I'm saying that this is something that I would want the people to say, yes, this is a good thing, or no, this is a bad thing. Because as I see it, this profoundly changes some of the tenets that we have in society, some of our relationship to drugs, what we say is permissible and not permissible.
Jennifer?
Can you give me a sense of, I mean, how serious are some lawmakers about throwing out that possibility? I mean, you can talk to a man on the street and go, hey, you know what will solve everything? Just legalize marijuana and you get that tax revenue. And now, of course, that discussion's gotten more serious with you know, the legalization in other states. But, you know, I mean, how serious are we about, you know, what kind of support?
I don't know what the support would be, because I haven't floated this through many of my colleagues other than through some private emails with certain of the leadership.
And well, Representative Brandon Dillon has put this idea out there, wrote an op-ed that ended up in MLive.
He did indeed. You know, there are just a couple of ideas. And if you have to think out of the box, if you have to think of all possible options, I think that it's something that at least deserves more consideration. And if we're going to do this as many people have suggested for all over the age of 21, that I'm very much against that. I don't think that that's the right answer. I think that we need better answers than that. But if you're talking about what consenting adults ought to be permitted to do in a society, you have to ask the question of, is marijuana a gateway drug? You have to ask, we have enough problems with alcohol as it is. Do we want to compound that with the legalization of marijuana? And exactly what kind of society do we want to live in? That's, in my mind, a question for society and not for the legislature.
Representative Bison, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I very much enjoy seeing you, Gordon, and Jennifer, and look forward to a continued discussion.
Republican John Bison represents Battle Creek and the surrounding area in the 62nd State House District. And thanks again to Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
A longer version of this interview, including Representative Bison's thoughts on prevailing wage, no-fault insurance reform, and privatized prisons, can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.